CliffCentral.com.
Righty, and we will have some more Collector Mania for you on Monday next week. It's turned out this is one of my favorite parts of the week. We get to talk to people who collect all kinds of weird stuff, and we spoke to a guy this week who collects match boxes and tobacco products and all kinds of other shit too, but he's got like the world's biggest or South Africa's biggest matchbox collection. It's unreal. Like,
gosh, millions.
Everybody has their thing, hey? O'Neill, do you remember when we used to...
I collect the Archies.
You collect what?
The Archies.
Oh, really?
The comic books.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
Wow.
I was going to ask you, because the obvious thing was, like, when, you know, when we used to DJ with CDs, that was a thing. I mean, I used to have the biggest CD collection. You collect the Archie. There's the comic. It's amazing. The Archie comics. That's it. How many have you got?
How many do you have?
I think I probably have 3,500 now.
Wow. My God, that is a real collection.
Yeah, there is.
Sure.
Yeah, no. I've got tons of these. Yeah. Dude.
That's great. I was never really a comic guy growing up, but I know so many people who most of their reading in their childhood was comics.
Yeah, look, I grew up in a township, so I only interacted with the comics when I had to go to the library, to the National Library. So it opened up like this world to me, which I wasn't a part of growing up. So I appreciated them so much. Like, I look forward to, we even started stealing them at some point. Like, mm-hmm. We go to the library to go and steal them. So it was such an eye-opener for me. I would get to learn how, you know, so how social spaces work.
Mm.
I mean, between the characters themselves, that created a world that I look forward to see. Imagine your favorite series today. So that's exactly how, that's the feeling I got in my stomach every time I came across a new comic. So I think the need to collect, it's almost like I'm paying tribute to my younger self and how far I've come from the person I was then to the man I am now. It's like it's one of those things. I can't even explain it. Yeah.
Wow.
That's a nice story. I like hearing about the reason people collect these things, and it's one of the reasons I love what we do on a Monday now, because it just lets you into people's psychology a little bit as well. You know, some people they grew up with very little, and therefore their collection is almost like putting the middle finger up to how little they had when they were younger. For some people it's just an obsession.
Yeah, for some people it's like a weird hoarding obsession. That's worthy to be on TV, like the cat lady, the woman with so many cats. So one of the things that I do collect is, in 2003 I lost my elder brother. He was 28 at the time, to a terrible car accident. So he was a huge fan of heavy metal and rock and roll. I think that's where I get my love for rock from. So growing up, he would dress up like them, you know, like the leather pants and all of that. But we had so little, and he wanted to own the merchandise, the T-shirts, the AC/DC, the Iron Maiden. He wanted to own that. And I think he probably had like only one of them. So by the time I was able to make sense of life and earn my own living, this is after he died, I started collecting those T-shirts, and I don't know where I'm sitting now. I probably have 100 of those.
God, that's
from
incredible.
From every rock band you can think of, from Iron Maiden, from Aerosmith, Def Leppard, I like those. So Guns N' Roses, all of that. So I've been collecting those. Every time I wear them, like, he wanted this so bad. And at the time, I didn't get that feel.
Mm.
But now it's like I have this in abundance.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, he passed before he could realize this. So,
man,
it just brings me closer to him every time I do it. Yeah.
If anybody said to me, "What does O'Neill collect?" The two things I would not have said was Archie comics and metal T-shirts.
Yeah.
Just shows you how it just shows
I know,
you, how
right?
you think you know people. And then they come up with this stuff. Listen, we've got to talk about the story that had everybody on the internet talking yesterday. A woman who gave birth to 10 babies, Josiame Tamara Sithole from Tembisa, who gave birth to 10 children at an unnamed Pretoria hospital. And the government say they're unable to verify if she actually did have 10 kids. Apparently, the story is that she gave birth to all 10 children at a Pretoria hospital. The communications department said that the public must please let us know if they have any more information, so they can't keep track of this. The Kuruleni mayor, Mzandile Masina, also said they tried to find out where the family was with no success. I would be worried if I were her and the government were this interested in me. But obviously it's a story that has left the nation shocked and excited. You know, the national baby shower was the hashtag. Many started to contribute towards for the family. So people are raising money for them, which I thought is really, really sweet.
Yeah, I think it was Lindiwe Mazibuko who came up with the idea. But yeah, it seems to be taking a life of its own. But do you remember the KFC wedding?
Yes. Those people who got married in the KFC. That's right.
Yeah. I feel like that's where it's going. I feel like it's going to go there. Well, at this stage, it seems people are still trying to figure out whether or not this story is true, because nobody seems to have an idea. How do you hide 10 babies, though?
Well, it's such a big story, too, because, I mean, imagine being the parents, well, certainly the father in this case, because, you know, as a dad.
Oh, no.
I mean, you're expecting maybe one child. You see your wife is really, really big before she gives birth. So you're thinking, well, maybe it's twins, maybe it's triplets. But then 10 babies are born. I mean, there's no father in the world who can financially prepare for that, right?
But so I'm a little confused with the reports that they can't find her, because according to IOL, the father and the husband spoke to them to confirm all of this. He was allegedly confirmed that his wife gave birth at a hospital in Pretoria and said she gave birth to 7 boys and 3 girls. She was 7 months and 7 days pregnant.
Okay.
He says that he's happy, he's emotional, he can't talk much. And then he says, oh, yeah, let's talk again in the morning, please. That's his direct quote. But it has been quite a journey for them with this pregnancy, because the couple were both in disbelief earlier this year. They were said to be expecting 6 children, so 6 triplets. Before then, they had further scans that show them, in fact, no, you have octuplets, so 8 kids.
Mm-hmm.
So they were still going around just thinking, oh, we're going to give birth to 8.
Then
the big bombshell, when you give birth to 10 all at once.
Woo! What would they call those?
That's a process.
Is that decuplets?
It's some long name.
Deck is 10, so I would imagine it must be decuplets.
Now, according to IOL as well, the couple already have 6-year-old twins.
Oh, my God.
So clearly they just have a trend of
this man
in their family.
No, but you know what? Sometimes, you know, when people have this many children who are all born at the same time, there's usually some kind of fertility treatment that they've been on. But if this is all natural, my God, then these are the most fertile people in the whole universe. We need to figure out whatever they eat, figure out where they live, figure out where they come from, because
and not do it.
Yeah. I mean, we must ask Paul Miller when he comes on just now from Cipla, because I'll tell you what, if they did some research on this family, you'd be able to develop the world's best fertility treatments for anyone, anywhere. It's just, it's phenomenal. It's unreal.
Carl says, the process of giving birth.
Oh, my God. Can you imagine how exhausting that is? 10 babies. Yeah.
I'm just corroborating the information that I can find. And according to Pretoria News, her pregnancy was natural and she wasn't on fertility treatment at all.
Wow, that's phenomenal. I mean, that must be some kind of world record. You know, there are people saying here, Carl says, for example, if I were the dad, I'd be asking for DNA tests on all the babies. How does he know they're all his? Well, come on, they're not all going to be from different parents, different fathers, because that would be impossible.
And different fathers. Like,
so, Garrett,
contribute spam like that.
Oh, gosh. On 2 points, to clarify, you are right. So, firstly, the term is decuplets for 10 kids born all at once. And then, secondly, she did, if this is all true, break a world record.
Wow.
The previous world record was held by a woman in Morocco who gave birth to 9 children all at once. But now, this woman has given birth to 10. She is the current Guinness World Record holder.
Good for her. I like when we can claim a world record. We'll take it. Thank you very, very much. That's nice. So there it is. And if people are trying to raise money for you, then you guys better step up. I know that you've got your hands full with 10 children, but if you know, Twitter's trying to raise money for you, that's one of the few times in the world where Twitter does something good. And it would obviously be really cool if we can help.
Do you realize how many records they can still continue to break? Like the first one that comes to mind, it could be the first single family to pay that amount of school fees at the same time.
Oh my God.
So many firsts.
I don't even know how she was standing at this point. Oh, with
shame.
10 babies.
Like,
you must have been on bed rest or something.
I mean, there was a picture of her. See if you can try and find that. There was a picture I saw, and we'll try to share that with you. But you could see she's pretty big at the time that she's about to give birth.
Yeah.
Big woman, because she's got 10 kids inside her. That's just unbelievable.
And the space between the babies, like, I was just trying to figure it out. I wish they had filmed it, because it's like, how? What happens? Is it minutes in between? Are they counting?
Oh, shame.
Where's the father? At what point did the father faint? Because at some point, he must have fainted.
I would have fainted after number 2. You're like, I've got enough money. I've got enough money for 1, and now I've got 10.
Listen, with a calculator. Okay.
Oh, Jesus. It's unbelievable. Yeah.
You know they're buying him a round of drinks, though, at the pub.
Oh, my God.
For
look at them.
Kids. It's crazy.
Sure.
No, he must.
Oh.
He doesn't drink, obviously, because he's a member of the Zion.
Oh, he's
right.
ZCC.
ZCC member, both of them, it seems. So, so chances are he doesn't drink.
I don't know. Listen, do not dispute me or fight me on this, but just looking at this picture makes my ovaries hurt.
She must be pretty exhausted. I reckon after giving birth, most women feel like they need to take a break for it. And the parent for many years after that just takes your energy out of you. You don't sleep. Imagine 10 children all waking up at different times and crying. And you need to feed all of them. You need to change nappies. I mean, you need an army of people to help you do that. There's no way they can do this on their own.
So we just got a message from Dr. Robin, who, you know, is a listener.
Mm-hmm.
She says that there is no way that this 10 baby story is true.
Really?
And she's an OBGYN. Maybe we need to
really?
Get her on. And she can tell us what she thinks.
Well,
I don't understand why she's saying that. Is she saying it's not true because it's impossible? Is it not true because it sounds fabricated?
Well, I don't know. Looking at the Looking at that couple,
we'll get Dr. Robin on.
We've got to talk to her about this. This is too curious for us to just let it slide. Now, another thing that's curious about the news today is that Emmanuel Macron, the president of France, got slapped, and this has also made the headlines. Where was he, Sia? He was walking around. He was doing some campaigning or something. He visited some French village, and a woman slapped him in the face. I think it was a woman, right?
It was a man.
It was a man. This 43-year-old guy who slapped him.
All right, so let's take... Here it is. Take a look at the footage, and then we'll go over this a little bit. This is what needs to happen to politicians some more. Are you going to press play on that side, Sia, or shall I? Let me do it. Here it is. Here it is.
Bonjour.
He's walking up. Hello. Okay. They go after him pretty hard. I mean, it's very quick if you didn't.
I love it. I wish there was a show on this. Just like presidents being slapped and having things thrown on them.
There's nobody who doesn't want to see this happen to politicians more, right? I would love this to happen to more. They're always surrounded by bodyguards. They're always in blue light brigades. They're always a little bit further from the people than they need to be. And I think many people in society would be much more inclined to slap politicians if we had access to them more often.
But this is not the first time he's had something thrown on him. I think they threw eggs on him at some point.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah, in 2019, they threw, I think, egg on him or something.
Well, you know, there are prime ministers and presidents in countries like Denmark where they will get on a bicycle and go to work. You know, here in South Africa, you need, anytime the president comes anywhere or visits anywhere, even former presidents, they get 23 bodyguards. They've got a whole cavalcade of cars that go before and after them. I mean, you know, it tells you something about how confident they feel that they have to have that many bodyguards.
What I find funny, because it's just extra humiliating in this whole story, is that because since it happened to the presidency has to release a statement.
Yeah.
And the French presidency are trying to, like wrap the story as tightly as they can to just focus on rather the good that the president was doing that day. So they're trying to highlight the fact that he was at this.
Good luck with that.
About how France is, you know, getting back to normal, and he was talking at a high school. He was talking to restaurant owners, but they had to still specify in a statement to say around 1:15 p.m. the president got back into his car after visiting a high school and came back out because onlookers were calling out to him. There were many supporters, but one clearly wasn't as supportive. I'm like, well, sir,
you don't say.
He slapped the president.
You don't say.
He's the one who's supportive.
He's the one, like, that video, I kept on watching it over and over again. I love how he's running towards.
Well, this is
it. It's like a net. Yeah.
He's putting on a show. You know how these politicians try? I mean, like Joe Biden was trying the other day to look like really vital. So he was eating an ice cream and he was like, you know, and they jog up to the people. They're like, oh, I'm going to meet my people and they're going to love me. I mean, look at how enthusiastic he is. Just watch how enthusiastic this Emmanuel Macron is running up. And then everything goes horribly wrong. Just watch it again. Hello.
Bonjour.
I love it. You know what their press secretary says to them? If you run, it'll make you look like you're more energetic and you're more excited to meet the people. So he's thinking about all of that. And then he meets a real member of the public who hasn't got much love for him.
Wow.
See, it's like a metaphor for how relationships are today. Like you run towards the relationship and then it slaps you in the face. Look, I have so many angles. Like I watch this from every angle. But the other thing is, going back to the fact that I think it was in 2019 when they threw eggs on him.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The previous president, I found out, they threw flour on him.
Oh.
But I think the poetic side to it is that it really says a lot about a country, what they care about. I mean, flour.
Yeah.
And then there was eggs. You can tell they obviously love bread. So they had to use bread ingredients to throw on their leader, on their leaders. But I think we need to hear more from the guy who slapped him.
Yeah. Well, why don't they interview him?
We won't be able to hear much from him and someone who seems to be his friend or someone he worked alongside with, because two people were arrested, including the one who actually slapped the president. So, yeah, what we don't see from this video is, of course, we saw that the bodyguards were beginning to quickly intervene, but they got the president away from the scene, and then two people were arrested. So, yeah, they kind of...
So it was more than one person. So they came together and planned this, obviously.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Anushka says that she likes the way that the slapper grabbed the president's hand, held it, and then went in for the Varam Club. Legend, come to South Africa, please. People are so mean. And then Sherilyn wants to ask you something, Sia. Sherilyn says, Sia, what are the dental products that you use? Your teeth are so white. Okay.
What?
There he is, smiling.
Sherilyn, what? Oh,
look at Sia.
Maybe I'm bored with it. Maybe it's... I'm joking.
Yeah, Sia, tell us. Share the secret.
No, the last time I went...
Before we slap you.
Oh, before you slap me, jeez. No, I don't use anything in particular. The last time I went for teeth whitening was easily 2 years ago, that's all. See, I'm an advocate. When I want to do something and when I do something, I will always state it. So okay. I don't believe in...
Is it one of those childhood things that people use now? You know,
I personally describe it as a near-death experience because it just freaked me out. There's a lot of zapping, then they have contraptions in your mouth, then they have to shut your mouth, and then you're hearing like a lot of whirling, and then they scrape your teeth clean, but it's, yeah.
Well, I mean, good
no,
for you.
No, but there's an actual, actual paste. Yeah, that black paste that people also apply, like I think every evening or something. It's, looks like it's quite a lot of work.
I've heard of these home kits.
Between you, me, and these walls as well, there's great lighting here. This is why I love being at home, not in studio.
Yeah, there are these home kits that you get, O'Neill, which also are available. And I think that people use UV lights and all kinds of things to make it happen. But
yeah, I've seen that.
I've been once for it, and it's a pretty interesting experience because they use hydrogen peroxide, which obviously is a bleach effectively, and what happens is that they put a certain concentration of it on your teeth for an amount of time with the UV light, and then it becomes an oxidizer, and that removes some of the coloring from years of tea and coffee and all the other stuff that you get on your teeth, because even though your teeth are enamel, they do obviously pick up color from all kinds of other things. And I've seen people with such white teeth, especially when you watch these American TV shows, they've got such white teeth that they look completely unnatural. So it's somewhere in between
That's true. I've also seen that. I think there's an acceptable amount of whiteness.
You know what's going to happen? Someone's going to cut that out, and then it'll be a quote. O'Neill says there's only a certain amount of whiteness that is acceptable.
Extra disclaimer there.
Yeah, they'll leave that part out to make it more controversial. You know how the media in this country are. All right, we're going to turn our attention to some other things. O'Neill, thanks so much for being with us, my friend. It's always good to catch up with you, and have a wonderful day from here on in. We'll be sure to talk to you again soon. People love having you on.
Okay, guys, I'm off to work. Thank you very much. Oh, how do I do this?
Oh, there we
go. You see, I represent the brand.
Let me see the brand. So what are we talking about here? Fish and chips. Oh, give the fish and chip shops a bit of a plug here. O'Neill's such an entrepreneur. This guy is.
Yeah.
During lockdown, when people were complaining about not having enough business and being out of work and all that kind of thing, he went from being a DJ to being a chip shop owner and a fish shop owner. I mean, this is just amazing. Where are your shops and how can we get in there?
We have one in Laurentville. We have one in Green Valley, Eden Vale, the Greenstone side. We are rolling out these stores. A partner of mine came together. Well, look, credit to him. He put together the recipes for over a year. So him and I talked during the course of that period. And then at some point, we decided to go into business together. So now it's doing so well. We are rolling out more stores. We are in touch with a couple of other partners who are interested in helping us like set up like satellite stores around the country. But look, we offer from our chips are hand cut. We mix our own spices. We mix our own sauces. Our menu, I think at this point in time, we're operating at 80% capacity in less than a year from the minute we opened.
That's phenomenal.
Look, I'm so grateful because business has not been affected by the lockdown for some reason. We've been doing extremely well. We are also on all on Uber Eats. Well,
dude,
depending on where you are, because obviously it has to be within the radius. Yeah,
this is so great. I'm pleased that we finished on this note because that's really an inspiring story for many South Africans who've not had the best time, and here you are and you're making things work. I just love it, and congrats to you and your business partners. I think it's so great.
Yeah,
thank you.
Now you've also made me hungry, but we'll talk to you later.
Okay, man.
Cheers,
cool.
O'Neill. Cheers. There's O'Neill Madumo. He is well known to the Cliff Central family. He's been a part of our family for a long, long time, from pretty much the get-go of Cliff Central. And he used to host a live show with all the musicians on it. And as you can see, the guy is not only a DJ, he's not only an entertainer. He was on various reality TV shows as well. Now he's also a businessman who owns his own chain of fish and chip shops. And I hear from him they're doing very well. So how fantastic is that? We're going to turn our attention to wellness and health now, and this is exciting. You know, it's a bigger deal than ever to be talking about wellness and health. And this morning, we're going to tell you where you can find credible medical advice. Now, I'm sure that you've heard of Cipla. They are now bringing you a Health Matters series, which puts experts from across the medical world right in your earbuds or speakers. And their aim is to provide topical and relevant information on healthcare with kindness, because health matters. To tell us some more about this, we're going to speak to none other than the CEO of Cipla in South Africa. He is Paul Miller. Paul, it's really good to see you. How are you?
Good morning, Gareth. Good to be on the call this morning. I'm well, thanks.
Listen, I have to give credit to the pharmaceutical companies, because you guys have done a tremendous job of helping us, first of all, to figure out how we're going to get through a very crazy year like last year. And even though you're all in competition with each other, there was an enormous amount of research and development collaboration that happened between all the pharmaceutical companies and between pharmaceutical companies and government. And you guys get a tough PR from you know, the public, from the politicians, from everybody else. You get a really hard line from people. They go, oh, you know, the pharmaceutical companies are just really there to take advantage of us. But it is thanks to Big Pharma and all those hard hours and the huge amounts of money that are spent that we managed to do the miraculous things that we did in the last year, like develop vaccines at record speeds. And I just think that Cipla, as a pharmaceutical company, deserves a bit of credit for the way that you guys and the others have done your job during this pandemic. How has business been for you, and how has the pandemic affected you at Cipla?
Yeah. So, Gareth, thanks for the compliments. You know, at times right now, we probably need as much empathy and support as anyone else would. So thank you for that. I think it's been a tough time for everybody. Me, myself, I contracted COVID over this period. It was quite a shock to my own system. And I think the country as a whole has really taken a lot of strain, and indeed the whole global village is come together under this real challenge of facing COVID.
Mm-hmm.
I think as an organization, you're right. You know, we have to think very hard about our role as a pharmaceutical company. And often at this time, you start thinking about words like strategy, you start thinking about vision, and maybe that's not the right way to go. We started using words like cause, and saying that as Cipla, we have a cause, and we don't necessarily want to focus on our vision, but we really want to have a vision which is very clear. And that is that we want to make sure that everyone got access to good health care, that no one was excluded. It was equitable in its approach, and also it was done, and you used the word in the beginning, with a lot of kindness. And I think that's the approach we've adopted in the early part. It's also forced us as an organization to think very differently. Mm. And you've seen how the pharmaceutical sector has responded. We've had to rethink where we do trials. We've had to reconsider how we develop drugs. And the rate and pace in which many treatments came to market, you know, not all were vaccines. Many of them were monoclonal antibodies. Many of them were antivirals. And we got these to the market in record time and worked with health authorities like SAHPRA and FDA across the world to make a difference. But that said, it is a collective responsibility, you know, working with the government, working with the public, as well as the pharmaceutical sector.
No, I think it's really is praiseworthy. And, you know, this pandemic has thrown everybody into overdrive, and we've all had to figure out ways of doing things that we probably didn't know much about before, getting those trials out quicker, making sure that we do extra research and development, working through the night, spending a whole lot more money, testing it on different things that perhaps with the benefit of huge amounts of time that we had before, we just didn't have this time around. But I'm interested also in this move into podcasts, because the biggest loser in this whole situation with coronavirus has been public trust and the idea of who we can believe and who we can actually look to for the truth when it comes to, you know, I mean, we've seen Dr. Anthony Fauci's been through a really tough time in the last couple of weeks because it's suddenly come out that he wasn't necessarily 100% honest with us every step of the way, or maybe he was just figuring it out. We've seen all kinds of confusion around Zweli Mkhize and this media company. People are just looking for places where they can actually trust the information, especially when it comes to healthcare. And I have too many friends, and I'm sure you do too, who go on online when they're feeling sick and they Google something, and then you start thinking all the worst things. And you have to speak to professionals. You have to speak to the doctors, the scientists, and this is where you guys have decided to get into podcasts, right?
Look, it's interesting because you know, you played that clip just now of the president getting smoked in France.
Yes.
It's humorous, but it's actually quite insightful. Because what simple research has shown at this time is that the public's trust in government has dropped an all-time low, but yet they're now looking to corporates to provide clarity and direction. And it's interesting to see that the public is actually believing that their own companies, their own organizations will take better care of them than maybe many of the formal institutions that they've relied upon in the past. So what this says is I think more and more people are looking for independent sources of data and are wanting to get information which they feel is not being spiced up with an agenda or, for that matter, is being driven through some commercial premise.
Or political.
We set our strategy. Sorry,
even political, because that's where a lot of it has gone. I mean, a lot of the science has been politicized. So people go, well, actually, I just want to know whether this is healthy for me or not. I just want to know whether I'm doing the right thing for my family, whether I'm putting the right things into my body, whether I'm avoiding unnecessary risks. That's what people really want, right?
Correct. And what we've seen is an incredible hunger for more information on how to stay healthy and how to keep myself, you know, strong with my immune system as strong as I can make it during the COVID period. So we believe by putting a podcast together, which is independent, which is actually a source of information that's going to help guide you in terms of how do you keep healthy? How do you keep fit? How do you deal with pain? How do you make sure that your chronic diseases are well controlled and maintained? Because we know if that's well controlled, your chances of surviving COVID are even greater. So we're trying to become that independent source. And we have no agenda here in terms of trying to push products or any particular disease, but rather just provide information to empower people's decision making.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up because, you know, obviously there are going to be cynical people who go, oh, okay, so Cipla getting into podcasting because they're trying to flog stuff. But, I mean, podcasting, and I can say this having been in the business of podcasting for as long as we have, the people who come to a podcast are looking for the truth, and they're looking for good advice, and this is exactly the way to put it together for them. So you've given us some idea of what the series is about. It's about helping to answer these questions, give good advice. Are there specifics that you want to throw in there? And tell us how you think it will benefit the business, because obviously you're not doing it just as a PR move, and you're not doing it as a kind of altruistic service. You also have some solutions which benefit the business too. It's, you know, one hand kind of helps the other.
You see, you've got to also understand where we're coming from. We're a generic company, a pharmaceutical company that is driven by one purpose. And that one purpose is that we see a future where good health can be expected by everyone. It shouldn't be based upon your ability to pay.
Mm-hmm.
It shouldn't be based upon your ability to access medicine because you've got the bank account to support it. And when we brought HIV medicines to this country, we took it from being what was 150,000 rand a year all the way down to 100 rand a month.
Wow.
And that just drove unprecedented access to HIV medicines.
Yeah.
So we also believe when it comes to healthcare, there shouldn't be restrictions on getting access to good healthcare advice. And that's the intention behind the podcast, that we can do it with kindness, that we can do it equitably. And I think the podcast is probably the most accessible source of information. So you will get information on how you protect yourself during COVID period. You will get information on any questions that you may have around building your immune system, your health systems. And it's going to be drawing on a lot of experts, people that are independent, and you will see that the content will be very much focused on satisfying the questions that you may have that you mentioned earlier on when you Google for your health.
I love this. I mean, I think there is no amount of info that's too much at this point for people. And they do want to know, you hinted at something here that I think is so important, your immune system. Because that is your most powerful weapon against not just COVID, but everything. And if you have a bunch of experts who you guys are going to help us get together, I know that this is hosted by Ryan O'Connor. He's going to be the host. You're going to provide all kinds of healthcare information. I think it's just terrific that this is being launched. When do you go live?
It's pretty much running.
Good.
So it's called Healthcare Matters. And this was Ryan O'Connor.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he's a well-known individual. And again, we haven't picked someone in the healthcare environment or that's got any axe to grind. So I think mm-hmm. it's going to be accessible. It's going to be something which is going to attract a lot of people's attention. So hopefully it meets the need.
I love it. Paul, well done to you and your team for doing this. I think it's so important that businesses start to realize the power of podcasting and the credibility that it can give to the people who you guys engage with on a daily basis for the audience that we all talk to on podcasts. And again, I have to say without feeling any sense of trying to butter you up in this respect, it is thanks to the pharmaceutical companies, it's thanks to businesses like Discovery and all the rest of it that we will get our population vaccinated, that we'll get our population healthy again. And if we didn't have you guys and we were reliant just on the public health sector, we'd be in a lot of trouble. So I'm pleased, and I know you do stuff with public health as well in South Africa, so it's not like I'm trying to demonize them, but it is largely due to private health care and to private pharmaceutical businesses that we're able to get out of this mess that we've been in, that the whole world's been in.
Yeah, and I think what COVID has done, Gareth, it's forced various stakeholders to have to work together. So mm-hmm. the partnership between the public sector, the private sector has never been stronger. Between the private sector and clinical scientists has never been stronger.
Yep.
So I think it's forced us to come together with one common endpoint. And I think it's reset probably where healthcare is going. I think the days of seeing a dichotomy of public and private are probably coming to an end. And I think it's going to become more and more of a challenge for us to work closer together and to realize that we can't do it alone and we can't be seen each other as counterparts, but rather as compatriots.
I love it. Paul, thank you so much for being on with us this morning and telling us about the series. It will be available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Deezer, and Iono. And Cipla are trying to ensure that they get you accurate information from credible medical experts. It'll make it an easy way to digest and remember, and then hopefully implement in your own life. And that'll be hosted by Ryan O'Connor. It's called Healthcare Matters. Thank you very much to the CEO of Cipla in South Africa, Paul Miller. Nice to see you.
Cheers, Gary. Thanks a lot.
Cheers, Paul. That's useful. The more the merrier, I always say. When it comes to podcasting, the more people we can get on here, the more we can educate, inform, inspire, and entertain our audiences, the better. And in this case, when it comes to this stuff, I think it's awesome. So well done to them for getting into podcasting, and well done to all the pharmaceutical companies. As much as we demonize them for being, you know, big pharma when we talk about these things, look at how they've rescued the world and got us back to normal quicker than usual. If we just relied on government, we would have got here. Not a chance. Who do you think is doing all the research and development? I think it's William Kiese with Digital Vibes. I beg to differ.
I just legitimately wonder if government doesn't feel bad about being shown up
I don't think it's one or the other. See, as Paul was saying, it's like a public-private health partnership, and these things are important. There is a way that they can cooperate together, and obviously there are many, many millions of people in South Africa who rely on the public healthcare service, and sometimes it delivers and sometimes it doesn't. We have very good doctors in our public healthcare service, and we have very good and nurses, and we have people who are trying very hard to help and to make things better for the poor and the rich in South Africa. But when it comes to the cost of actually developing new drugs and that stuff, that's big money, hey? You can't have a taxpayer foot that bill, because sometimes the benefits in terms of profitability are just outweighed by the cost of research and development. So it's a balancing act, and I'm pleased we got to speak to Paul. He's the first CEO of any health company we've had on the show, and I'm just delighted that they're talking, because it is important for them to also explain to people what's going on, what they're working on, and where they can be helpful. So that's really useful. It's interesting. There are lots of comments here about good health and keeping your immune system up. That's such an important part of what Bulelo always says. And I know Bulelo's a smart ass and a lot of people find him irritating, but he and Ben and, you know, a number of other people, the first thing they do is they take responsibility for their own health. They're like, I'm not going to just eat whatever I want. I'm not going to not do any exercise. I'm going to make sure that I am fit and healthy, because that's your best chance against anything, not just coronavirus. And what I love,
I think those,
what I love about it is, like, they're not looking for someone else to blame or to solve their problem. They start with themselves. You see these people who look at you funny if you don't have a mask on when you get out of the car, and they weigh like 400 kilograms, and they expect you to be responsible for their health, and they can't even look after their own body. You know, to me, I'm just not going to take someone like that seriously anymore. You can't, right?
I think those who are annoyed by a Mbulelo or by a Ben are annoyed simply because what Ben and Mbulelo say is just hitting home very, very particularly.
It hurts. Oh, I think that's right.
It might be a tough pill to swallow for some of us. So actually, you know, if we want things to change, we need to change them ourselves. So that, you know, I am yet to meet even these great big bodybuilders and Mark Wahlberg or whoever, or Dwayne The Rock Johnson, who say they enjoy going to gym. It's about just that discipline and that commitment to it. God bless you if you actually wake up at 4 a.m. and whistling a tune as you hop, skip to the gym.
Yeah.
I don't know. That would never be me.
Well, good, especially if you're doing it in this cold weather. My God, it takes a huge amount of motivation to actually go to the gym when you're feeling as cold as we are now. Just to reiterate then, if you are looking for that podcast, it's called Health Matters, H-E-A-L-T-H, Matters, and you will find it on all of the different podcast servers. Go and take a look. see whether it's the kind of thing that might interest you. It's not a Cliff Central production, but we think it's good to support all of these podcasts, and we'd like you to go and check it out. So if you're interested in Health Matters, go and check it out. Health Matters with Ryan O'Connor as a host, and that's brought to you by Cipla. Very nice. Lots of people saying we've still got to like and subscribe. So, Sia, it's your turn to do it. Let's do this quickly. We may as well do it twice in a show. There's no harm in reminding people. Here it is.
So nice. Everybody. We do it twice.
There we go. Sia Sundgren.
Hi, guys. Welcome to my channel. Oh, you know what we need? Because all YouTubers have this. We need a name for our viewers, you know? So they call. Hi, guys. Thank you so much for supporting us, Bieber Knights.
Oh, no. Remember? We're not going to do that. No. I'm not. We're not giving anybody, as a group, a nickname. That's never a good plan.
Well, the YouTubers do it. Remember to hit that like and subscribe button. Just to make sure that you get notifications whenever we release a new video.
That's very nice, Sia. You know who we need is this family.
We
have more listeners than any other podcast in the world. If we just get this family with their 10 babies to listen to us, I don't think they'd be a bigger show. It'd be huge.
Wait, is it? You know, it's a running joke for some people to say they have so many family members or they have so many siblings they can make their own soccer team.
Mm-hmm.
This family literally could.
It's one short.
Soccer team made out of.
They're one short. So if their dad is in the goals, they've got a full team.
Well, the full team is what, 11?
Mm-hmm.
If we go by the earlier reports, remember they have two.
They've got two others. So they've even got a reserve.
So they have a full team and a reserve.
That's great. That's awesome. Carl says, I'm at the gym right now. I do enjoy it, and it helps with stress. If I don't go, it messes with my head. So it's important. Yeah, but don't underestimate, like, your bravery in actually getting dressed, putting on warm clothes, going to the gym, standing, you know, outside the door if you're up there early enough, and then going in and actually doing the heavy lifting, so to speak. Mm. It's not good. That's really not good. And somebody's asking here, how about hangers on? We hang on to the cliff. Great collective nickname. I don't want to give anybody a nickname that they didn't ask for. I don't want to do that. It's terrible. Gen X wants to know, I haven't been around. Does Gord still come on the show? Well, Gord will be making a star appearance every now and then, but he can't do it every week now because he's got some serious job, which is going to keep him busy for most of the days. But he did say he will join us more regularly. And we did speak to Ben last Friday, and he'll be making a regular Friday appearance. So it's exciting stuff. We're going to have lots of interesting people coming on in the next while. You know, we always got to keep moving the show forward. And this is no exception. Whether Gord's there or not, we obviously love Gord to pieces and we love having him on. But we will have to do what we can to get everybody on when you want them and as much as you want them. Just quickly, apparently there is this South Korean industrial.
When you start laughing first, yeah. I don't know what to say.
Well, you know how much interest we got and how much commentary we got and how many people were obsessed with that story about the Italian sculptor who made the invisible sculpture?
Oh, wow, that he sold for thousands of dollars, yes.
And people just couldn't believe how dumb that was. Well, there's a South Korean industrial designer who's come out with a detachable third eye, which is for people who can't take their eyes away from the screen long enough to stop themselves walking into a wall or some other obstacle. So how does this third eye work? Well, I don't even know how to begin to explain this. You've seen the pictures. What do you make of this, Sia? Is this another stupid gimmick?
I just think it is a sad day in the world when we have to have a contraption like this because people can't look up away from their phones. So think about what a miner wears. You know, a miner, they have that protective helmet that has the light right on the top.
Right.
And instead of a light, it's basically a camera that scopes out the land as someone is walking and will alert a person if there's an object in place and if they're about to walk into something just because they aren't looking up from their phones.
Oh, my God. We have to wear this now.
So ridiculous.
I love those videos of people who are walking and then they bump into like a street light or a signpost or whatever it is, because they can't even be bothered to look up from their phone for 5 seconds to make sure that they – first of all, don't walk and text. Don't walk and read your phone. You're going to end up hurting yourself. There's a very, very funny video that someone sent me a long time ago. I can't find it now, otherwise I'd play it for you. But there's this couple walking, and she's on the phone, and he's holding her hand, and she doesn't see this sign, and she just walks face first into it because she's so busy on her phone.
So stupid. So this guy is 28 years old. His name is Peng Min Wook, and he has developed this robotic eyeball. He's called it the third eye, and it's translucent and connects to your phone. So whenever it senses that you as the user have your head lowered and you're looking at your smartphone and you're about to come into contact with something within 1 or 2 meters, the device begins to beep and it will warn you of the impending danger. So he says, look, he also didn't really think that this is what he wanted to create, but he says this is what the future is sadly looking like, the future of mankind with three eyes, as we cannot take our eyes off from our smartphones. This extra eye will be needed in future.
Well, less screens maybe, but this is like a little bit more technology. I would love to just get to a point where we're actually disciplined enough to have this many hours a day for screen time, that many hours a day without any technology around us. Otherwise, we are going to be in trouble. I mean, it's bound to eventually do us huge damage. We can't integrate with these machines perfectly. People have forgotten already how to talk to each other, how to look each other in the eye, how to have normal conversations, how to actually meet in person. You know, we joked with Lihle Msimang, who's on our show tonight. So what now? ENCA this evening, 10 o'clock. Don't miss it. Channel 403. She's a comedian. And we also, by the way, have Gayton McKenzie on, and his story is absolutely unbelievable. You don't want to miss it. He's got such powerful things to say too. He's bound to ruffle all the feathers this evening. But Lihle was saying, like, her kid is 2 years old and he doesn't know about a world before masks. To him, masks are part of how humans have always lived. You're going to have to explain to this kid as he grows up, no, that's not what we used to do. It's what he knows.
See, I think that there's good and bad of how fast we're evolving as humans. I like that, well, I mention a story like this of the third eye and I judge how and where we're going when it comes to technology, but in the same breath, one of the things I discovered this week, I'm not saying I'm going to necessarily buy it just yet, but you know how when you're watching something from bed, either on your laptop or if you have a TV in your room, and you're getting comfortable to a certain extent, but you just want to like actually lie down but still have full view of whatever you're watching? Well, there's a pair of glasses. If you can imagine, you're lying on your back on your bed and you have these glasses on and they're almost in a shape of an L or an upside down L, and inside that L is like a bit of a prism situation or reflectors, so that as you are lying down horizontally you can still view what is in front of you.
Like, oh, so lazy.
90 so degrees lazy.
Are you
what?
And you looked at this and you thought you might buy it.
Not just yet. I am going to consider it, but I think it's a very slippery slope up until then, you know.
Well,
I'm one of those.
There are people who have their TVs mounted in the ceiling so they can lie flat on their back and watch TV.
I mean, are we going to judge that, or can't we actually congratulate people who thought about doing that?
No, we're going to judge the hell out of that.
It's a slippery slope.
You mean it's too much to ask for you to actually just sit up and watch? I mean, imagine if I started doing this show while I was lying down. just come to me while I'm in my bed in the mornings, and we'll just do the show from there. It's nice and lazy. I mean, if you can't even be asked to sit up, put your shoulders back,
yes,
address people in a respectful way. No, no, no. We'll just do the show from...
Don't you just hate those neck pains,
yeah,
that, and those cramps that, yeah, you get? Too overrated. Lie down. Be horizontal 24/7.
Well, that's all we got time for this morning. We will see you tomorrow bright and early at 6 o'clock. And from cliffcentral.com, there's also lots of other good content you can go and check out, plus some of the stuff you may not have heard that we've already done over the last 7 years. Go and take a look. It's all on our website. Plenty of good stuff there. We will see you tomorrow at 6 o'clock, bright and early. Ciao.
Cliffcentral.com.